Can you tell me a little bit about the research you've been doing? Specifically, the substance abuse and diet thing. Those are two really big issues for college students, and that's what we're interested in poking
Okay.
into.
Well, the research that I've been doing and what I got the patent on and trademark and copyright is for addiction problems. And the concept was to increase the successful withdrawal rate from addiction of abuse substances and alcohol and to decrease the relapse rate. Because right now in the United States, both those numbers are abysmal. It only averages about 13% success rate in the United States. You know, when you look at the different numbers of people that successfully withdraw from drugs. So what we used is an all-natural method. Now we go through clinics, you know, the actual addiction facilities and rehabilitation facilities. But the concept is simple and could be, and we do it after they leave the facility also. And what that concept is everybody has what's called opiate receptors in their body, which is just clusters of proteins and cells. And these opiate receptors, when they're stimulated, and things that stimulate them are things like drugs and alcohol and certain foods, they then release chemicals. These chemicals give the body urges. The body can't really differentiate what the urge is for. So if it's used to taking cocaine, that's what it thinks the urge is for. If it's used to taking heroin or alcohol or oxycodone, that's what the urge is for, and it becomes a vicious cycle. So what we did naturally is we built menus with recipes that do not stimulate the opiate receptors. And if they're in a actual setting, what I call a secure setting, meaning a facility for at least 28 days, and they don't get their opiate receptors stimulated or very little, that makes it much easier when they leave the facility. Because otherwise, what you tend to get, or at least a large percentage of the time, is transference. And you'll see that people that are addicted to a substance and go to a facility will then leave that facility, and you know, 87% of the time they'll go back to the drugs or alcohol again, and that's because they were used to having their opiate receptors stimulated, and they just transferred it to things like tobacco or sugar or gluten or caffeine and things of that nature. So then when they're out of a controlled setting and the drugs are available again and the same type friends and the same type atmosphere, lots of times they tend to fall back into it because they never had a chance to not have their opiate receptors stimulated, which is what causes all the urges in our body except for sexual urges. So that's the main part of the program. And when somebody leaves the facility, and this is where it will be helpful for the college students, we allow them with a code, because the facility, you know, pays a fee to use the program, but we let all the people that are in the program, once they leave, access it for free so they could use the menus, any tips, any information, any new research, but especially all the menus and recipes, and they could keep using them because we have, you know, 5 meals a day or 3 meals and 2 snacks a day that don't stimulate the opiate receptors. And the main things that stimulate the opiate receptors are sugar, gluten, milk, dairy products, a lot of sugar substitutes, except for stevia. That seems to be you know, natural enough that it's not doing it. And a lot of additives and preservatives and dyes, you know, non-natural substances, they all tend to stimulate the opiate receptors. And that's what we tend to do with switching, of course, caffeine and nicotine, and then any drugs and alcohol. So if we could switch them off of being used to having these things stimulated and instead get them used to eating healthy, working out, living a healthy lifestyle, and that's where they get their self-esteem from, hey, I built up to running 3 miles a day or doing 10 miles a day on the bicycle or my skin cleared up because I'm not using these drugs anymore, or some type of self-esteem that's based on them feeling better nutritionally, physically, because of what's going on in the clinic or in their lives. Those people that all of a sudden have much more respect for their body tend not to want to put poison into their body.
This is just all incredibly fascinating, Dr. Pander.
Say that again?
I said this is all incredibly fascinating, what you're telling me.
Well, and here's one thing, or two things that I left out. And again, since you're recording this, I don't mind going into some detail, and then you could pick out what you need from it. But the other problem is almost everybody who's addicted to something has what's called inflammation. And when I say inflammation, I don't mean a twisted ankle type inflammation. I mean internal inflammation. And that's because they eat junk food, and we have an acidic, gastrointestinal tract is acidic, which means it has a low pH. This causes inflammation. Inflammation causes lots of problems or makes them worse, like arthritis, fibromyalgia, restless leg syndrome, Crohn's disease. But what it does, for what I'm concerned with, is it throws the insulin mechanism out of whack and makes it malfunction. So therefore, it gives you huge cravings for sugar, which then stimulates the opiate receptors, or it breaks the other way where it doesn't process the sugar, so it tells your body to drop all of its sugar, which then stimulates the opiate receptors. And if you notice people that are in these addiction facilities, depending on the facility, they're always, they're eating lots and lots of sweets and sugar, and that's what they ask their friends to bring when they visit and stuff, because the highs and lows that they're getting from that, the change in sugar and insulin, is somewhat similar to what happens with drugs, and they're trying to switch one thing to the other. So what we do is part of our menus and recipes is they, besides not stimulating the opiate receptors, we also make them higher pH, which the people don't notice, but we make it a higher pH recipes, and that neutralizes the pH and drastically reduces the inflammation, which is a big help. And you don't need anything special for that. The foods just have to have things like lemons or limes or broccoli or spinach, asparagus, onions, garlic, things like that are, have a higher have a higher pH and tend to neutralize the pH, and when it neutralizes the pH, it gets rid of that inflammation. And the third thing that we tell the people to use is amino acid therapy, which is sort of like a shot in the arm, like when somebody has a bad cold, sometimes they'll go to a doctor and they'll get a B12 shot. It's sort of the same idea, except now there's methods where they could do it, and they use nanotechnology. I use it from a Dr. Bloom, BLUM, and so they could just drink it, and it gives them most people that are addicted to a substance are short of nutrients. They're deficient in different nutrients, and this helps with that, and sort of causes balance in the brain, which they call homeostasis, and it lets the dopamine work without having to use drugs, which makes you feel good, not feel good like high, but makes you feel good like sort of like serotonin and melatonin type feeling good. So I use a combination of those three methods to raise the successful withdrawal rate and lower the relapse rate. That makes sense?
Yeah, you're doing a great job of explaining this. And I'm the scientist, which is very helpful. So, shifting gears a little bit, do you think the poor diet can, not necessarily a terrible diet, but can lead to, I'm phrasing this question so poorly right now. Do you think the typically poor diet of college students is related or can influence, you know, the increased substance abuse you see, you know.
Well, this is what I see from a scientific point of view. You can't really say that. I don't think there's a direct correlation between if you're eating this, you're going to take more drugs. Where you do see a correlation is people that are really into healthy living in general, meaning they're working out, they're watching everything that they put in their body, they're real careful about it. Those people tend to take way less drugs than people that are constantly eating junk food and putting anything that they want in their body because they don't care and don't work out. So I think it's a mindset more than anything else. Not to sound too cliche, but if you really think of your body as a temple, you don't want to defile it by putting poison in it.
Right.
So, and, you know, you could just think of it yourself or for people you know. Anybody that you know that's really into working out and being healthy doesn't do drugs. No, no, I realize there's exceptions to that. But as a percentage, they don't do drugs. So to answer that question, is there a medical correlation? No, not that I know of, not until you're on the drugs. And then we're talking about back what we said before, stimulating the opiate receptors. But before that, the correlation is if you're trying to do everything the best you can for your body between working out and eating properly, drinking the right amount of water and things of that nature, those people do less drugs and drink less alcohol.
Okay, that's kind of the answer I was expecting to get.
So, I mean, I wish I could give you a more scientific one, and a psychiatrist probably could.
Mm-hmm.
But from the type of scientific answer that I think you were looking for, I don't think there is one, or at least I don't know it.
Right. Not quite sure what it is. There anything else you feel is important for me to know?
If they really do have a substance abuse problem, it does work way better to cure the problem by going into a good addiction or rehabilitation facility, you know, a controlled environment works much better. You know, that's why I only do my program through facilities, and then when they leave, I let them do it on their own. But I won't let them do it on their own before that because it would crush my numbers, and then I wouldn't be able to get the facilities to do it.
Yeah. So it seems like you're focusing on, you know, illicit drugs. But
no, drugs or alcohol, and not just illicit drugs. You know, I think now abusing prescription drugs is just about as high as any illegal drugs. I know they said heroin increased 400% in the last few years, but I think abusing prescription drugs is still above heroin, so that's probably the number one problem.
Right. But do you think the, you know, dietary issues can be responsible for use of, you know, more legal things like nicotine and, you know, even caffeine to an extent?
It's hard to say, you know. We'll have to see what the drug use is like in Colorado in a few years, or where was it, Washington, Oregon State, where they just made recreational marijuana legal.
Right.
You know, in those places where they made it legal, one of the first things they noticed is there was an increase in smoking tobacco.
Okay.
Well, it sounds funny, but who's going to say something to somebody about smoking tobacco? They're just so happy that they're not smoking marijuana that the parents don't say anything, if you think of it. So in their mind or in the parents' mind, it's the lesser of two evils. Now, I know a lot of people will tell you that nicotine or tobacco is worse than marijuana. But our whole society is geared towards, well, if something's the matter, take a pill.
Right.
And it's not. You know, the CDC says 75% plus of all diseases nutrition-related. And that's where we should be concentrating, preventing the disease. And if we did that in general, that would get us used to not only preventing the disease, but much more into a healthy lifestyle and living a, you know, eating the proper foods and drinking the proper amount of water and working out the proper amount, and that would cut down drug use. Plus, it would help the it would solve the healthcare crisis. Because it would make it so small compared to what it is now that it would be manageable.
Right. So that definitely makes sense. So are there proactive things people can be doing to, I mean, the obvious ones are, you know, eating healthy and working out, but like specific proactive measures people can take to, you know, kind of lower their risk for this type of addiction?
Well, you know, first, one thing I say is the easiest thing, simple thing, and most overlooked is to drink one half your body weight in ounces of water per day. So if you weigh 150 pounds, drink 75 ounces of water. That's extremely important, and most people don't do it, especially children. They drink the sweet, sweet drinks, and we start getting them addicted to sugary drinks, you know, before they're 1 year old. So that's one easy thing. And, of course, working out. I work out every day, but I'm also 61. But working out at least every other day, I think, is important. Eating half your plate should be filled with fruit and vegetables. You should have a good protein, a quarter of your plate, with a good protein. You know, not fried, not processed. You know, a real food. And then we can't forget you need healthy fats and complex carbohydrates. And if you really stick to that, you'll be doing fine. And then you could also add some supplementation if you believe in that, like a good multivitamin, multimineral, some fish oil, a probiotic, and things of that nature. And it's pretty standard. If they go to my regular website, which is DR for doctor, KeithCantor.com, they could see the relationship between nutrition and, oh, the top like 25 diseases under resources, and it's all free. And then if they want information on named, just go to namedprogram.com. And they could see everything there, and they could see get 1 week worth of free menus, you know, by clicking a few things on there. And I think you have to give them your email address.